Welcome to Power Play on a day when President Donald Trump finally brought a job creation smile to economically stressed Alberta and to the Liberal cabinet that's huddled right there in Calgary. With a scrawl of his pen, the president reversed the Obama Keystone XL pipeline rejection, clearing the way to pipe Alberta oil to the Gulf Coast refineries. But there are conditions. Coming up, we will have reaction from Canada's Natural Resources Minister, Provincial Energy Ministers, and the Green Party leader. Also, the Canadian auto sector is holding its breath after Trump hauled car manufacturing executives in for a little chat today on bolstering U.S. production. We'll ask the Canadian Union President if that's grounds to be worried for jobs on this side of the border. But first, 9 years after applications for the estimated $10 billion, 1,900-kilometer Keystone XL pipeline were filed, the mega project was given a presidential green light today. The reversal follows Barack Obama's rejection of the pipeline in late 2015. After years of study, massive protests, and heated political campaigning, this was the scene at the new president's desk earlier today.
This is with regard to the construction of the Keystone Pipeline, something that's been in dispute, and it's subject to a renegotiation of terms by us. We're going to renegotiate some of the terms, and if they'd like, we'll see if we can get that pipeline built. A lot of jobs, 28,000 jobs.
Okay, but as expected from an all-about U.S. president, Trump vowed American advantage tweaks to the original plan. To discuss what might be on the tweak list, we're joined from Washington by CTV's Richard Madden. I don't know if this analogy works, but it's almost like, Richard, they should put the champagne on ice but not pop the cork yet. Is that what pipeline proponents should be doing today?
Well, as soon as Trump, when the speculation this morning that Trump was going to green light the Keystone Pipeline, TransCanada shares shot up. But when Trump said that it'd be subject to renegotiation by us, the stocks then dipped again. They've since stabilized during the day. I think there's two ways to look at this. First of all, it's great news if you're a shareholder of TransCanada or if it's in your portfolio. It's also great news for the Alberta energy sector that's been really hurting over the past few years. But there's other conditions here that might bring some pause, particularly the construction of the pipeline. If Trump is all about America first, could that mean, of course, that only American products go into building the pipeline? Secondly, of course, is anytime you're talking about renegotiating terms, that could also mean profit sharing, or do the American companies get a bigger slice of the pie? Remember, at the end of the day, the Secretary of State in that executive order makes the final decision on the pipelines. And of course, this Secretary of State just happens to be the former CEO of Exxon, and he's working with a president who made a fortune cutting deals. So this that's probably the most interesting part. But ultimately, today's news should be positive news for proponents of the pipeline. But of course, there are opponents of them, and that's why Barack Obama decided to pass on it in 2015. And there are protests happening at the White House later this hour.
Yeah, and Nebraska protesters are warning they're going to fire up their engines again and get blockades going. So how does President Trump deal with protests that might be different from, say, Barack Obama?
Well, exactly, Don. And, but Trump, we've already seen his style so far. He's running the White House like a CEO, and he has the comfortable Republican majority that wants to push this pipeline through, including Dakota. So where does this leave it? Well, it leaves the vacuum of the opponents to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders today saying he's going to do everything he can to stop the Dakota Access and other pipelines. So he will be front and center as these protests continue to develop throughout the next few years.
You know, I've never seen a pipeline, there's a lot of them across the border, where there's sort of like a toll gate at the border that says you have to pay to keep going with your oil projects. I mean, is the stock market say this guy might be setting new ground and might somehow make this project unprofitable if he applies too many conditions? Is that what the market's saying?
It's really difficult to actually read the market, especially under an unpredictable president. But if you look at the factors, if you look at the various benchmarks today, the loonie shot up almost a cent in light of this news. TransCanada stock went up. But the details will be on these conditions. And Trump already using language suggesting that he is beginning the negotiations at a point of strength. And that would probably be a bit of concern for the Trudeau government when they're at the negotiating table. What exactly Trump means is unclear. His press secretary, Sean Spicer, wouldn't elaborate what those details are. But I assume and I imagine that when Trump meets with Justin Trudeau and the president of Mexico in the next couple weeks to talk renegotiating of NAFTA, no doubt the Keystone Pipeline will be raised.
I guess the bottom line here, Richard, Donald Trump's not going to do anything to help Canada that doesn't help America more.
Well, this is the fundamental belief of Donald Trump's America First. It sounds great, and if you support him or don't support him, here in the States, that is a buzzword that has sort of been unifying the country of America First. But when you approach a deal like a pipeline or NAFTA or a free trade agreement with that as your starting block, that can be a little bit challenging for the other partners.
All right, we'll see what happens. Richard, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Okay, reaction was swift and mostly positive. Here's a very happy Alberta Premier, Rachel Notley.
This project is going to create good jobs here in Alberta, and that's my focus. Support our workers, create good jobs, and diversify our economy. More energy workers at our rural hotels is a good thing. More equipment out in the field is a good thing. Busier restaurants and hardware stores across Alberta are all good things. While discussions around Keystone XL progress, we are focused on building Canadian pipelines to Canadian Tidewater. At the end of the day, it is about making sure that regular working families of our province all have access to good jobs.
All right. Prime Minister Trudeau's timing was coincidentally bang on as he reacted while chairing a cabinet retreat in the heart of the Calgary oil patch.
I've been on the record for many years supporting it because it leads to economic growth and good jobs for Albertans, particularly now that we can also demonstrate with the pan-Canadian framework on climate change, that with the absolute cap on oil sands emissions that the Alberta government brought in, we know we can get our resources to market more safely and responsibly while meeting our climate change goals.
CTV's chief political correspondent Glenn McGregor is covering the closed door event. He joins us from the historic Palliser Hotel in Calgary. You know, Glenn, Trudeau inherited a pipeline that had already been rejected by the former president. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's genuinely happy that this is going ahead, or did he sort of have to follow along because that's what he said during the election campaign?
No, I think this is something that he's advocated for a long time, going back even to his leadership campaign. The fact that the news of this came today, though, on a day when his cabinet is wrapping up its cabinet retreat here in basically the heart of the oil industry is really a coincidence. And it was an unexpected development, too. Trudeau said that he's talked twice to Donald Trump and both times discussed in very positive terms the Keystone Pipeline. And Trudeau says he advocated it for there. But we heard from Jim Carr, the Natural Resources Minister, and he said he didn't know this news was coming today. And they also seem to be in a bit in the dark about what exactly the president meant when he was talking about renegotiating it. As Richard Madden says, this is a bit of a mystery still here. We don't know exactly what that's going to entail. And if, as some people speculate, that he's going to start taking either royalties from this or some kind of import tax on oil products, then it becomes a trade dispute matter, and something that is going to have to be resolved in the NAFTA envelope. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but yes, the reaction is pretty happy so far.
And I want to step back a little bit from this specific decision to look at how this cabinet, which seemed to have spent 2 days basically fixated on how to handle Trump, how are they better prepared to handle Canada-U.S. relations today than they were, say, 3 days ago? Did any business get done behind Trump watching and waiting?
Well, I mean, it looks like their approach has been to keep really good message discipline on all their cabinet ministers. None of them have spoken out about Trump or his policies or some of the things he said. The prime minister was asked today whether he thought Donald Trump was a misogynist, and he very artfully walked away from that question too, says it's not his job to comment on the U.S. electoral system. So this is the way they're going forward. The fact, though, that they had an envoy coming from the Trump administration in Stephen Schwartzman, his chief financial advisor, that was important and useful, I think, for the cabinet. And it was really just a kind of a sign that there is an existing relationship there that the staff from the prime minister's office have been working on forging over the